I do want to thank you for being faithful to church, and being with us. It's been tremendous throughout this whole thing. And I do want to mention, I'm thankful for our church. Whenever we're going through something, we've never went through anything like this, but you know, there's always in a situation, particularly this one, you're going to have people that say, well, you're not doing enough. Then you're going to have people that say, you're doing too much. And then there's a few that say, Goldilocks, just right. And some of you may think that we're not doing enough, and that's okay. Do what you need to do. Some of you think we're doing too much, okay? And that's okay. You can live with that. And so let's just stay together, and I do thank you for that. We've not had a lot of issues. But again, we're just be careful. If you're sick, you feel sick, stay home like you have. That's why we have the live stream. By the way, one thing that's been good about having service at 9:30, once we get back to normal, you have no excuse for missing Sunday school ever again. By the way, for some of you that were missing Sunday school, but you're to the services, same time. Same time. And so thank you for being faithful and being here, and appreciate all that you are, all your faithfulness and sticking with us during this time. Now, next Sunday is our Christmas gift for Jesus, and I hope you'll give to that. Some of the money's come in, about really half of what we typically get, and we really need to hit that number so that debt for the bus is out. We still have to register and pay taxes on them and so forth. And so that's officially, it's next Sunday. We'll take that. You can give any time on Simple Gift. Also for the children, next week we'll have little gifts for them, a little bag of treats, and we're not going to pass them out as a group. So we'll have tables placed strategically. So you come a little early, that I think it's fifth grade and under, we'll have a little gift. And I think the gifts are, gender specific. I know, I'm not woke. Okay, I did woke up this morning, though, and I feel pretty good. And so you can pick them up before the service or after the service on the table. Just bring your family by and get those. Just our way of saying thank you to the children. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 7. And so keep your Bible open there. I have a thought I want to share with us this morning. You know, when expectations and reality collide, we have problems. I didn't write this down, but I just thought of this. Kind of like when flatten the curve in 15 days becomes stomp out your life in 10 months. Expectations were it'll take 2 weeks. Reality is a different thing. We just have to deal with it. But when expectations and reality, for instance, let me give you a feel. We're married. Now, we'll live happily ever after. Now, I'm not being critical of marriage, but things are different now. What I mean by that, then you get married and now you have to live together. And by the way, it's good. You just have to work that out, right? See, before when you courted, you had a great time together, and then she went home and you went home and there were different places. Now you have to go through the process of learning to live with one another. Here's one. I can't wait to have children. They're so sweet and cute. Then something happens. You bring them home from the hospital. And little sweetie pie and little cutie pie wakes up screaming at 2 a.m. Okay? And then they become teenagers. And then there's, they're messy sometimes. I'll give a positive view in a second. Here's one. This was me, because this is our planning time of the year. But last year, this is going to be the best year in the history of our church. And then 2020 started. In reality, here's one. This is my dream job. We're driving home from church on Thursday. And my grandson Jason was with me. And he started quoting Psalm chapter 34, I think it was, Jason. And he quoted about 7 or 8 verses. And I think as he was quoting the verses, he started thinking about them. He goes, I love the Bible. I love doing that. I don't know what they mean. And then he says, you know what? When I grow up, I was going to be a YouTuber. He goes, but I'm not so sure now. He goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. But then he said, I think I'm going to be a preacher or a missionary. I think quoting the Bible got to his little heart, right? But we all have this thing we want to be. By the way, it won't be YouTube. YouTube's starting to throttle people too, by the way. So, but we all have this reality of our dream job, and then we have to work. And it's still work. It can be your dream job. What is my point? My point is this. Expectations often blind us to realities. What do I mean by that? Not that marriage is not great and that it's not happily ever after, but it's not perfect and it takes work to get there. Not that children aren't wonderful, they're great. Now, I have to compare here. I don't think children are as great as grandchildren. Why? You send the grandchildren home. Actually, not at our house. They like to stay. But not that children aren't great, but they are also work and effort. Not that church isn't wonderful this year, but circumstances arise and arose. Not that your dream job isn't what you're made for, but still there are difficulties and things you got to go through. The problem is when we look at expectations sometimes, our expectations are void of any reality. And we need to put those two together. That's what's going to happen here. And that's what we're going to see in this story with Joshua. As we look at chapter 7, we understand the children are finally in the promised land. It's been a long time. I mean, they were 430 years, I believe, in Egypt. And then God gets them out of Egypt. And because of all their difficulties and nonsense, which we preached about a couple weeks ago, they spent an extra 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The word wilderness is not the word I really, it's when you think of wilderness, desert. Okay, is there anybody that loves a desert? Seriously, you have issues. Okay, you know the best thing about going through the desert is getting out of the desert. You know what they said, the best thing to come out of Texas was the I-40. But anyhow, the best thing to come out of the desert is to get out of that place. I don't like heat. The desert would be okay if it wasn't the desert. But that's where they spent. But now they're finally in the promised land. It's a great land. It was a land given to them by God. It was a blessing. And so in the book of Joshua, we see the process of them coming up to the promised land, crossing over into the promised land, and getting set up in the promised land and taking possession. They had their first battle. Jericho. Jericho was the mightiest city in Canaan. Think about that. God said, you're going to take out the number one city first. And so they go against Jericho, and God gives them a very unusual plan. You know, you go around the city one time, and then the last day you go around it seven times. And then the wall will fall down, and once the wall falls down, you just go straight in and take them out. And that's what they did, and it worked perfectly. It was great. There was just one stipulation, though. The stipulation was they couldn't take any spoil. Now, what God meant by that is you're not to take their clothes, anything that you find. Usually when you beat someone in war, you get to take their stuff. Okay? And God said, not this city. You burn everything. I don't want you taking one thing. Well, we know the story, I believe. They go to Ai, the next city. One man, by the way, didn't listen. His name was Achan. He decided that he's going to take. It's almost like Jericho is a picture of the first fruits or the type or tithing. You give the first to God, then you get the rest. And God was going to give him a lot, but he said, don't do it. Achan didn't listen. He stole some stuff that he couldn't even keep, to be honest with you. It wasn't really smart on his part. But they move on to the next city. No one knew. Ai. Ai was a little city. After taking out Jericho, Ai's not a problem. You saw it. Let's not make everybody go to war. Come on. I mean, we just took out Jericho. Let's take out Ai. We'll beat them easy. No problem. Well, they didn't go to God. They didn't get a plan. They didn't make everybody go, and they go and they lose. If they had went to God first, they wouldn't have lost. God would have pointed out the issues up front. The issues would have been dealt with. They wouldn't have went in and take them out. They lost because of Achan's sin, but not just Achan's sin, because they didn't go to God in the first place to find out what they needed to do, and God would have pointed all that out. That's not what I want to look at. I want to look at Joshua's reaction. It's not good. Verse 6. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 6, he says, "And Joshua rent his clothes," a sign can be a sign of humility, remorse, sorrow. "And he fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord." So he goes to the ark and he falls on his face. He's going to speak to the Lord until the eventide. He was there for a while. "He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their head." By the way, there's really nothing wrong with that reaction in a sense. They're trying to find out what happened. They're confused as why they lost. They're in remorse. Then you get to verse 7. "And Joshua said," how often is it the actions are right until the mouth opens? "And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us?" Here we go. "Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side Jordan. Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies?" You know what he's saying? Why did we even come? I wish we would have stayed back in the wilderness and not even come into this land. What happened? The expectation of victory, conquest, and spoils met the reality of defeat, disobedience, and loss. His expectation of how it should have gone met the reality of how it did go. And he didn't handle it very well. And he runs to God because of it with some false conclusion. It's God's fault. This apparently isn't or shouldn't be God's will for us to be here. By the way, when expectations and reality collide, we always come up with false conclusions. You know why? We're trying to figure it out on our own. And that's not the message, but that's good right there. Listen, when what you think should happen is not the same as what actually happens, we might want to get with God and figure out what went wrong instead of coming to some false conclusion. You know, we can have a lot of false conclusions. 2020, I was excited about 2020. But it seems like if you gave the 2020 a name, it'd be Titanic. You know? It didn't, but that's okay. Expectations, reality, something. God didn't die. God didn't fall off the throne. We just have to figure out what he's doing and how we're supposed to respond to that. But that's what happens. He has false conclusions. But the worst conclusion was the last one. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. The conclusion that it was better to never have come into the promised land in the first place. Well, things have gotten worse since I became a Christian. No, it hasn't. You just expected when you became a Christian that nothing bad would ever happen. You just expected when you became a Christian that you're bulletproof. Listen, problems are a part of life whether you're a Christian or not. And I would way better go with the problems with God than without God. No wonder suicide's up and people are depressed. They don't have God. They don't see. Look, I'd be suicidal and depressed if I didn't have God during these times. But I have God. And I see that it may be a rocky road, but when we get to the end, it's all good. But that was Joshua's conclusion. Now, I want you to understand this. This is not coming from the negative spies who already died a long time ago. Remember those guys? We preached about them a couple weeks ago. 10 men to ignore. He's not one of those. He stood up to them. He stood up to the crowd. That's who it's coming from. This is Joshua, their fearless leader, the one who was faithful, the one who went through the 40 years and got into the promised land, and now he's discouraged. And he let this setback skew his whole view of God. You know what Joshua is saying here? It's what a lot of us say in life. You ready? We've heard the phrase, I didn't sign up for this. I mean, when I came on board, here's what I expected to happen. And reality knocks you in the head, and you're like, I didn't sign up for this reality. Reality is reality. You can't change it. And he said, I thought this would happen. I didn't sign up for us to lose this battle and to be embarrassed in front of our enemies. And I have to look into the faces of the rest of the people sitting here like, Joshua, what went wrong? See, he wanted the positives without the negatives, right? Isn't that how we are? Let's go back to what we started. You know, marriage is happily ever after. I know, you want your spouse to be perfect, and you want the good parts of your spouse without the bad parts. Now, I'm not giving you license for the bad parts. Let me back that up. That's a strong word. The weaknesses they have. I'm not talking about sin or some stuff that should be corrected, right? We all have weaknesses, right? I sat down, I tried to make a list. I couldn't think of any, but I'm going to before New Year's. Just kidding. You say, you know, well, by the way, if you're like me, and you say, I don't have any weaknesses, ask your spouse. They can help you with that list. In fact, you might have to say, okay, calm down. We're running out of paper. Right? But isn't that what we want? You want your spouse's strong points without their weaknesses. You want the blessings of a little baby when they go goo-goo, but you don't want it when they diarrhea down their leg. You don't want that. Positives and negatives are there. Strengths and weaknesses are there. We have to understand that. We want the blessings. Joshua wanted the blessings without the problems. Now, what's the message? I have no clue. That's what brother, when someone says they have no clue, you know what they're saying? I'm clueless. That's just interpreted for them. We bring these same false expectations into Christianity. Well, I'm serving God. That means nothing bad will ever happen. Nope. Not true. That means being a disciple doesn't have difficulty or requirements. Read the Bible. It does. That means the abundant life is the problemless life, if that's a word. Nope, that's not what it means. That means living for Christ means I will never suffer personal setbacks. It's not what it means. These are things we have to deal with. These are things we have to fight through. These are things we need to be careful about. Now, I want to look at the problem. Joshua, in essence, saying, I didn't sign up for this. And I want you to look at the problem that he had and the solution. I'm going to give you two lists. One of the lists really comes from Joshua. The other list, which is the solution, comes from God. So let's look at them. List number one is this. It's our signed up exemption list. In other words, I've signed up for Christianity, but here's some things I want to have that are exempt from my Christianity. You don't get that choice. I've said it over the last month, you know, signing up to be a disciple of Christ is, it's a contract. Only the contract is blank and you sign your name to it. God fills in the details as he sees fit, when he sees fit. Here's our signed up exemption list. What's an exemption? It's something we want to excuse from an agreement or from a commitment we're about to make. By the way, we've signed loans here in the last few years. And whenever we look at them, it's like, here's what we want. I want this exemption, or how's this work out? Can we do this? And I want it in writing. Okay? I don't like when we got our house and we were getting the loan. I wanted the numbers in front of me, and the guy gave me the numbers, and I looked at his numbers, and there was the monthly cost, and I told him before he went through this, I said, now look, I'm telling you, this is how I work. If you come back and that number is off by a dollar, I am not going through with a loan with you. Guess what? When the loan came back to sign, it was off by $40, and I called him back. He goes, it's just $40. I said, what did I tell you when we started this? That's why I wanted it in writing. I said, I'll walk. And he fixed it. Because that's why I wanted it on paper. That doesn't work with God. Okay? We trust God that whatever he throws our way is best for us and he'll get us through it. So what are some of the exemptions that Joshua is saying here that he didn't sign up for? You ready? First one, he says, we would say along with Joshua, we don't sign up for disobedience. Look at verse 1. You're going to see where the problem starts. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Let's not bypass the cause of their loss. Now, again, if they just go to God, this would have been okay. God would have pointed it out before, not after. But this is the cause right there. Somebody sinned. Now, he says it very interesting, Israel has sinned. Now, wait, it was only Achan. Maybe God threw that in there because he saw them as a whole and they didn't come to him for the battle plan. God says, listen, he sinned, but, you know, in essence, you didn't come ask me about it. We could have fixed this. But there was disobedience by Achan, not taking what God said not to, and Joshua for not coming to the battle plan. By the way, God's battle plan was pretty good for Jericho, wasn't it? That was pretty good. I mean, they didn't have to break through the wall. They actually got to, you know, if they would have had their fitness app on, they got their 10,000 steps every day, and God knocked the wall down for them. That worked out pretty well. Why didn't they do that again? Disobedience will always drive us out of God's promised land. Now, we get discouraged in our Christian life by disobedience. Now, there's two ways this disobedience can bother us. It can be the disobedience of others. You know, sometimes there's things in our life we have to deal with because someone else was disobedient. I guarantee you there's a lot of people there, particularly some of those people that were injured or killed, their relatives probably weren't real happy about that. Why did Achan do that? Now, by the way, Achan paid. But listen to me. Sometimes there's things we have to deal with, and there's just no way around it because other people sin. Don't let that bother you. Don't let that get to you. You just do the right thing. Amen. Hey, far too often someone goes cattywampus, and we let that affect our lives. We can't let that happen. Oh, we get discouraged. Listen, you can look at someone who maybe when you were a new Christian was kind of someone you looked up to, maybe a bit of a, you use the word mentor or disciple to you, and then they kind of got off track. Hey, don't let that knock you off track. Jesus is still just fine. The world may try to judge us, try to judge Jesus by Christians because they're trying to put him off, but let us judge Christianity by Jesus Christ because after all, he's the one we have the best relationship with or should. But sometimes, you know what that disobedience? That disobedience lies in ourselves. We get discouraged. Now, I'm not giving that as a carte blanche for you to go do some open sin and say, well, you know, I'm just a Christian. No, stop that. But even as we're striving to live for God, there's little things in our life. See, you know, when I started serving God, I had a lot of big sins in my life. And I'll just be honest with you. Those were pretty easy to deal with. It didn't take long. When I got right with God, I went in my room, the posters on my wall, the music, that all got thrown out. My mom kind of freaked out, like, what is wrong with this kid? The partying and going out, I stopped immediately. The friends I was hanging around with, I loved them, but I quit hanging out with them. All that stuff was thrown away. It was done. And I was like, I'm pretty cleaned up. I'm going to church 4 times a week. I'm going soul winning. I'm going to the men's prayer. I'm serving. And then God's like, yeah, but you still have some issues. I'm like, what? Inward. And God starts dealing with that stuff. By the way, it's discouraging sometimes, right? I think I told the story one time. I was coming home from work, and I was serving God. I was excited. I got rid of things. And some guy, I was on my motorcycle, and some guy did something or yelled at me. And I waved at him. But I waved at him with only one finger. And, man, as soon as I did that, I was like, what was that all about? I was kind of discouraged. Like, why did I do that? No, he deserved it, yes, but why? But maybe you say something and it's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Look, you can either at that point quit or say, you know what? I'm going to get that thing right and go forward. Don't let it stop you. Well, there was another thing Joshua said he didn't sign up for, and we don't sign up for the emotions. At verse 6, Joshua has this a little emotional tirade. He rents his clothes, which is fine. He falls to the earth. You see that when people are discouraged and they go before God. There's nothing wrong with that. But Joshua gets a little emotional. By the way, when you let your emotions get out of control, you're not thinking logically. You are not. If your emotions are out of control, that's one thing, but don't be making decisions. Don't be doing things at that time because you're gonna do something ignorant. You're going to do something hurtful. You got to be very, very, very careful about that. We say, well, what are these emotions? How come I'm feeling this? By the way, have you ever felt discouraged or upset about things? Yep. Let me be real honest with you. Not that I have not been honest up until this point, but I've kind of limited it to like 70%, you know. Have you ever went to God with honesty? Probably in a way you shouldn't. There's been a couple times, Brother Grandy, I went to God in prayer. Something I really needed, particularly one time we were in Florida having some major financial issues. We were just getting settled in, and I got this great, good-paying job. I just had to take a lie detector test. Now, I don't know what it is about them. I fail them. I had lost, like, in the past, two or three jobs. One job guy goes, you're lying about everything. And I'm like, I can show you my ID. My name is Steve Myers. I didn't lie about that. And he kicked me out of his office. But I had this job I really needed. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. The circumstances that lined up was like the stars aligned. And God just showed me this job. I wasn't supposed to be there. And the guy goes, I'll call you when the test comes in and we'll get you started. And he called me and goes, hold on, let me get your test results. He goes, you failed. Goodbye. Now, I was not happy about that. And I went outside. We were living in Florida. That was probably the problem. We were living in Florida. I went for a little walk outside, and I'm like, Lord, that makes zero sense. I'm like, you know I needed this job. You lined everything up, and then this happens? Now, I don't suggest you pray like that. Now, after about 30 or 40 minutes of walking around and kind of getting it out, it's kind of, all right, Lord, you win. You obviously have something better for me. I don't know what it is. But you know what? God did have a better job for me. Yep. A job where I was the boss. Better hours. Better pay. And I'm like, Lord, I trusted you all along. But see, sometimes our emotions get out of kilter and we're like all over the map. Yep. Don't. Now look, we cannot control our emotions, but don't let them guide you. Don't let them make your decisions. And Joshua is going to say something very, very silly because of his emotions are out of control. That gets us to the next thing. We didn't sign up for discouragement. Verse 7. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? This is where it starts to get bad. Now he's questioning God. Why did you bring us here? Look, if you want to go question God and be out of control, just say, God, why did this happen? Show us. But he's like, why did you even bring us here in the first place? What's going on? That's not good. I don't know if you know that. But that's discouragement speaking. Not that Joshua doesn't love God anymore. How can this happen? What can I do about it? Here's the best thing to do. You ready? Don't question God until you've questioned yourself first. Come on. Right? Now, I'm with you. When my emotions are out of skew, I want to question God first. We'll get to me later. No, why don't we question ourselves? Maybe if he would have sat down and thought, what happened this time that didn't happen last time? We got the game plan from God. We asked God for help. But he didn't. He was discouraged. And we all get discouraged, don't we? And by the way, you know, they say never question God, but sometimes kindly we do, like, Lord, why did that happen? And that's okay, to be honest with you. As long as it doesn't come from a bad spirit. Lord, I don't understand why that happened. Lord, please help me understand that. I'd like to know. Now, when you're saying, Lord, why did I even start serving you in the first place? That's not a good place to come from. But that's where he came from. Now, I'm kind of transposing this one, but the next, He said we didn't sign up for difficulties. He says, over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. He already forgot why God brought them here. God didn't bring them there to be destroyed. But that's what he's thinking. You brought us over here, and now we're going to lose all these battles. The Amorites are going to take care of us and all the other Ite people. We're in trouble, Lord. He didn't expect that they would ever have a problem. He didn't expect that although they would ultimately and should ultimately take over the whole promised land, that it wouldn't be difficult at times. Going forward, even after they possessed the promised land, they still wouldn't have some battles to fight. They still wouldn't have some things they had to take care of. He didn't expect that. He didn't expect that even in the midst of difficulties, God could still help them like he had in the past. Why is God only as good as the last thing he's done for us? Why is God constantly on trial? Well, you know, I'm having a good day, God's good. How about when you're having a bad day? Is God still good? God's good, your day is bad, okay? How many of you had a bad day? How many of you had a bad week? How many of you had a bad 2020? Okay? I know this, 2020 is not good, but God is good. I'm not going to judge God by a year. Maybe the governor, but not God. Let's not judge him. That is not fair. Okay, if you're married, do you want your spouse to judge you by your worst day as a spouse? Not me. I haven't had any, but it might happen. No, I don't. I want her to judge me by the good day, right? You know, remember that day? No, I remember today. Yeah, you know, what are you going to do? But let's not judge God like that. We do that all the time. We didn't sign up for critics. Now listen to this and tell me where this came from. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. Where have you heard that? Yeah, you just changed the word Canaan, Jordan to Egypt. You heard that from the spies 40 years ago. By the way, I have a question. How'd that work out for those guys? They didn't have to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness until they died. God took care of them immediately. Isn't it funny how when things go bad, critics start to seem right? But by the way, quit listening to critics. Well, you know, I left that church because of this. Well, good. I'm not good. I don't want people to leave. But if you left and that works for you, that's fine. But don't criticize us, especially when someone leaves and they don't go to another church. Especially when, I'll go ahead and say this, especially when they want to criticize church or Christianity and they are not living for Christ anymore. Yep. And we listen to those people. And if we don't, we listen to them like, oh, I'll just debate it. I know. And then 6 months down the road, something happens that discourages you and all of a sudden what they said was right. Joshua was mimicking the very thing he fought 40 years ago because it was still there. Now, he didn't want to go back into Egypt, but he wanted to go back into the desert. And I guess spend the rest of their lives running in circles looking at all the graves of the millions of people they buried. We better be very careful. Don't listen to critics. It lodges up here, and eventually it can change what you think about somebody. Be careful who influences you. By the way, especially social media and all this other garbage. People that talk and they're critical. By the way, let me say something about you. You don't need to be on all the social media. You young people, every time there's something new, you hop on it. I'm okay with a few social media, but some of that other stuff has a lot of dark side to it. And boy, everybody's got to jump on it. Boy, be very careful. You already spend enough time on your phone. What do you need, 6 more different social media apps to stay on there for another 12 hours? Okay, that didn't go well. Let me say something real quick. That did not go well. All right, there we go. We'll just move on. Next and lastly, we don't sign up for enemies. Look at verse 9. For all the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear it and shall environ us about. They'll go all around us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do unto thy great name? He says, man, they're going to take us out. Now we have all these enemies and their courage. By the way, that's probably true in a sense. Now, God's going to snuff that out quickly, but probably in a sense like, aha, they lost to AI. There's a chance for us to beat them. They're not invincible. Yes, they took out Jericho, but aha, there's an Achilles heel. They can lose. He didn't want enemies. We don't like when our faith is confronted. We don't like when we live for God and someone questions it. Let them question it. I'm not going to judge my Christianity by what others say or the questions of others. I judge it by what does God say he wants from me? And that's what I'm going to go with. Well, that was our exemption list. But I want to give you secondly and lastly, and it won't be long. I want to give us God's signed up expression list. God's going to give them the cure. He goes, all right, you signed up? Let me just express to you what you need to do here. Okay? His list is a cure. He gives Joshua a few things to do. Ready? They're simple. First, he says, get up. I like that. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Now, after Joshua pours out his heart before God, all these emotions, everything coming out. Here's God's answer. Get up. Why are you laying on the ground? Right? Like when your little child throws a tantrum? Don't give in. Get up. I still remember. We were at the house and Ellie and Jason were in the backyard playing and Ellie fell down and she was crying. You know, Ellie's got over it. She seemed to be the one that fell a lot. And Jason walked up to her as compassionately as he could and looked at her and said, get up! You know what God is saying? There's no need for you to be throwing a tirade. Get up! It's okay to go to God, but we throw ourselves down and we make the problem worse. And God's like, the problem's not that bad. We'll fix it. Get up! Don't stay down. You had your little emotional, you had your 15 minutes or how, they were probably there longer, of emotional tirade. Enough's enough. Stand up. Amen. Get off your face. I'm going to talk to you. Good. That's where you got to be. Listen, we may trip. We may stumble. You may fall down. Here's what you do. Get up. Even when you go to God and you get on your knees and you bring your problem to God, you know what you do? You jump up when you're done and say, now what do I do? Don't stay down. You only lose when you stay down permanently. Get up. We have far too many people that quit on God. The first sign of problems. How would you like it if, and I don't watch football anymore, but, you know, a football team goes out, hey, we're going to win. And the first play, they get knocked down like, I didn't know they were going to do that. I'm out of here. That's not what we do. No, there's a problem. We got to deal with it. Let's go. And God says, I'm going to help you, but the first step is this. Get up. If you don't get up, God can't help you fix the problem. If you're not willing to go forward, there's nothing God can do about it. He can't help you. I know it's cute and all that. I don't know, the sandstorm or whatever it is. You know, I was walking, and there was footprints, and there was two sets, and all of a sudden I'm going through a hard time, and, you know, and there was one set of footprints, and Jesus carried me. Stop that. I want Jesus, you know what? I want Jesus to help me, but I got to walk while he's helping me. I got to be willing to stand up and say, now take me where you want me to take me. I don't want to be carried. I'm not a baby anymore. Maybe that's not scriptural. I don't know. Maybe I just don't like something that seems feminine. I don't know. But we just, oh, I'm not going to do anything and Jesus is going to carry me. Doesn't work that way. Jesus strengthens us as we do what we're supposed to do. Amen. Get down on your knees and pour out yourself to God and get up and say, now what do I do, Lord? And he's going to take you the way you're supposed to go. Get up. You can ask yourself some questions, you know, like, did I do something wrong? Sometimes that's the problem. What does God want me to do? That's a good question. Or is God trying to use this to teach me something? That's a really good question. So he says, get up. Then he says this. We won't like this. We just want to get up sometime. Get right. Get right. Verse 13. up. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thy enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. God says, you get up and you get right. There's a problem. Let's fix it. You know what we want? We want relief in the battle. We want victory in the battle. We don't want to figure out what we have to do to get victory in the battle. They didn't lose the battle because they weren't going to win the battle. They lost the battle because they're doing something wrong. And God says, fix what you're doing wrong and you'll win the next battle. We just want to win without fixing. Well, I have all these problems in my life. Can you help me get through your problems? No. Let's get to the root of the problems and the problems will fix themselves. If we just try to fix the problem without fixing the root, the problem is going to be gone, but the next fruit on the bad root is already growing. I couldn't say again if you paid me. But let's get right. What do we need to fix? We want God to fix everything, and we don't want to fix anything. I kind of like that. That's the problem, okay? Get vocal. Get vocal. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, verse 16, and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He follows God's advice, and he does this thing publicly. He publicly deals with what he needs to deal with. By the way, sometimes there's things you've done you need to deal with publicly, and I don't mean publicly like this. You need to deal with people openly. You need to deal with you just need to bring your issues into the open. And maybe it's not the open as in everybody else, but maybe you need to bring it in the open to yourself. Some of you got these little sins you're hiding in your heart, and you need help with them. And I'm not saying everybody in the church needs to know about it, but if you're struggling with something on your own, you might want to get someone to help you with that. You might want to get someone you can be accountable to that will keep their mouth shut. By the way, we talk too much about other people's problems. Stop it. That was free. That doesn't help. If Brother Schneider has a problem, he's got a lot of them. Does it help me to tell everybody about it? Okay? Just look, but get some help. It has to come out. We hide these things in our heart, and if it's something we've got victory over, that's great. But sometimes we just need help. If I've wronged somebody, I need to talk to them. Get it right. Get vocal. And then God says, get going. Chapter 8 and verse 1. We didn't read chapter 8. Look at this. So they deal with it, and you know how it works for Achan. Not good. Okay, Achan's done. But let's go. It's all taken care of, right? Chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not. He needed those words, by the way. See, God's also encouraging. Once you do the right thing, even if you struggle, if you're willing to do the right thing, God will come back and say, okay, now we're over this. Don't be afraid. I'm going to fix the situation. Fear not. Neither be thou dismayed. You don't need to be discouraged. Take all of the people of war with thee. Strike. They didn't do that last time. Arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. He says, okay, we've dealt with the sin. Everything's over. Joshua, let's go. You're back to the purpose. Okay? I didn't bring you here to deal with this problem. We're all going to have a Christmas time. We hug each other because we got rid of the sin and everything's better and our relationship with God is great. Good. What are you doing now? Get back to doing what God wants you to do. How often when we struggle or we're discouraged or something happens, we quit doing the things we're supposed to be doing. God says, that's just go. Well, you know, I struggle with this. I just don't feel like I can share the gospel anymore. No, get it right. Share the gospel. Let's get right. Let's keep going. Get going forward. Quit holding back and staying in the weeds. And then lastly, and we're done, get blessed. Look at verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and to her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. In other words, only the spoil thereof, their gold, their silver, their television, I don't know, everything. And the cattle thereof, that's where the real money was, shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for this. You know what he says? This time, not only are you going to win, you get everything. Take it. You know the gold, what was it? Achan had the Babylonian garment. He couldn't even wear it. Was it silver or gold? He had something. He buried it in the dirt. Wedge of gold. Oh, he had a wedge, all right. And what happened? He didn't get to keep any of it. If he would have just waited one city, one, couple weeks, I don't even know how long it was. I probably should, but I don't. Pray for me. He would have got it. Openly. I know this, that Babylonian garment didn't look very good on him being buried in his tent. Too early. You know what? God still can bless us. Don't think because something's happened in your life and you're down and you're discouraged that God's given up on you forever. No. You've given up on yourself. You've bought the lie of Satan. If you do the right thing, God will still bless you. God will be a part of your life. Amen. Now, let me ask you this. Are there things that happen in your life and sometimes you get discouraged like, man, I didn't know this was part of it. I didn't sign up for this. It's just part of life. It's part of being a Christian. And let's deal with it. And let's do the right thing. Let's stand together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. I like to be a realist. Bring your expectations into your Christianity. In other words, serving Jesus is wonderful. There is an abundant life. All of it's true. All of it's true. But there's a secondary part. That doesn't mean we won't have difficulties or things we have to fight through. Let's do it. Let's do it. Don't let difficult times get you to start to thinking that serving God isn't all that it's cut out to be. It is. You're going to face things in life, period. Whether you're a Christian or not, I'd rather face them with God. And let's not bring our own problems. The things that Joshua did, the things that were bothering him were things he brought into it. He should have immediately known that God promised if they just meditate on Scripture and they did the right thing, they'd be successful. And that if they weren't successful, there was something wrong that they needed to fix. But instead, he went through all this drama. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. You discouraged this morning? Are you down? Is there some issues in your life that you have to deal with so you can get back to being what you're supposed to be? Let's get up. What do they say? Failure is only fatal when it causes you to quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Let's go forward for God. Let's make any adjustments we need to. Let's go to God and find out what He wants. And let's go forward. If you're here this morning, I want to ask you this question. Because I know there's one thing God wants for all of us. He wants us to be saved. But He doesn't force it. God wants all of us to go to heaven. And not only does He want all of us to go to heaven, He's provided the means by which we can go to heaven. He paid the price for our entrance into heaven, which is Jesus Christ dying for our sins. But we have to receive Him. Here's the question. Are you 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? Do you know why you're going to heaven? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Myers, I think that would describe me. I am not 100% for sure. If I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to be sure. Would you please pray for me? Is there anybody like that at all? Just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Father, we thank You for these folks faithful to church. I think that shows something. But Lord, more than that, I pray that we would all let You work in our lives. People use the phrase that life is messy, and I don't know if I necessarily like the wordiology, but I guess life is. Sometimes we bring that into Christianity. Sometimes we have things we have to deal with, and we're thankful that You help us deal with them and You help us to grow through them. Lord, help us all to have enough spiritual insight not to let it bother us, not to let it cause us to want to quit. Strengthen and encourage us. Work in our lives. Bless us as we go our way till we meet back tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.